nest certificate. Say it.
His nest certificate.
But that's my birth certificate.
Yeah, my birth certificate.
Say it again. His death certificate, but it came by birth certificate. Ain't that cool?
Yeah.
Get your Bibles out. God is so, so, so awesome. It's good to see everybody here. It's good to have DCN Daniel here. Amen. Y'all guys don't get any fights while we're here. I'm just playing. I have been preaching, had to get on the front row. I say, get on the front row. And then I had to stop them and go, y'all stop. All right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God's got this. John chapter 20. Pray for me. It's allergies, and I don't like them. They don't like me, so we're in agreement. God is awesome. All the time. Let's see here. Turn off all this noise. All right. Stand for the reading of the word. This is going to be a little different today. Please, please remember Nancy Hudman's family today. Like I told them last night, it was just before midnight, and they thought she was dying before midnight. Then she died at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I told them, I said, well, if you're going to die, so to speak, if you're going to have to die, no better day. And I told them, I said, that's dying. That's actually holding out to die with class, because she's dying on the day that Jesus died and rose again. And let me know, she died and she rose again. Amen. There's no doubt about it. God is so, so awesome. Amen. I got your Bibles. John chapter 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, or John, and said unto them, they have taken away our Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came to the sepulchre. And he stood me down, looking in, saw the fine linen clothes lying, yet went he in, not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him. And he went into the sepulchre and seized the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped himself together in a place by itself. Then went also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and they saw and believed. And for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their home, but Mary stood without a sepulchre weeping. You know, sometimes it does good just to linger. Just to linger. Linger. When God's doing something, just linger. Especially if you don't know what's going on, you don't have any answers, just linger. So Mary stood without a sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and she sees two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they laid him. And when she had thus said it, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom you seekest? She supposed him to be the gardener, saying unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is the same master. And Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet sent to my Father, but go to the brethren and show them. I send to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Stretch forth your hands and sway, God. We love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well on the throne, God. We know, Lord, that you are in control of all things. Ask you right now, Lord, to touch and to anoint each person here. And God, help us all to learn, to linger, and even when we don't understand, linger and know that you got this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, don't get me seated there. The preacher wanted the church to look cool, look good for Easter. So he hired a painting contractor. Just happened to be it was a cheating painting contractor who had been skimping by thinning his paint excessively. Nevertheless, he landed that big job painting the church. But he was almost done when the major storm blew up and washed all the paint off. Amid thunder and lightning, there came a loud voice, "Repaint! Repaint and thin no more." Thank you, Bill.
Woo! Repaint, repent, repent.
Y'all guys get ready. And the sound man back there, need to return this up. Randy, can you get ready to turn this up? Is your dad already back there? Is your dad up there? Andy, where you at? I'm going to make sure if I don't see his dad. Get ready. Finding hope. Seven sayings of the resurrected Jesus. Get ready. Here it comes. Try this again. I think I just hit a button. Praise God. We know what happens when you're trying to talk about Jesus, how everything goes all haywire. Here we go. Let's try it again. One, two, three. We're not going to let the devil beat us today. We're going to win. Say we're going to win. All right, here we go. We're going to win.
I'm not going to be able to do that.
awesome.
Amen.
All the saints.
All the time.
It was kind of wild that yesterday I was watching on one of those channels, the Bible. It was all day. I was watching toward the end. And at the same time, it was late at night, and so I was contacting the family, and I was praying with the family, and we got on the speakerphone, all that. And it just, the whole thing was just wild that I was preparing to go if I needed to, but at the same time, I think it's a personal thing, because I was able to be with the family alone. And I was praying with them and checking on them all the way through to 3 o'clock this morning. But at the same time, as I was watching Jesus being beat, put on that cross, and resurrected, it wasn't long after that that Nancy died. And it's just so powerful to think about things like that. But at the same time, another person was at Duke having deadly surgery, and they said a brain surgery, and they survived. It's just amazing, because we were praying for God to be powerful all the way, through it all. And well, look what God did. It's just amazing. And Nancy told me, she said, I'm ready. I want to go. She said, I won't leave the family behind, but I can't wait to see Jesus. So this morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, she let go of her family's hand. And she grabbed hold of God's hand. Again, all this stuff lets me know that if I go out of here, I'm going to let go of something. You're laying y'all's hand, and I'm going to grab a hold of his hand. I want to talk about his risen hope. Hope in what Jesus did. And the first seven words on the cross is a message from God to the world. The first seven words of the risen Christ is a message from God to the church. The world is trying their best to hide Jesus. They're trying their best to get rid of him, to get him out of here. The same way when they crucified him, they were trying to get rid of him because he was up disrupting everything. And now they're trying to do it all over again. You know, with all the things that's going on around us, and God needs to step into this world. But for us, the church, we need to let the world know that we care and that we have God's power in us and show Christ's love. So look, the first seven words of the risen Christ is a message from God to the church. So here we go. Let's go into the rip. The resurrection of Christ was the miracle of miracles. Without it, there'd be no Savior. Without it, there'd be no sure word of God. Without it, there'd be no salvation. And without it, there would be no hope beyond the grave. So here's the first thing he says. Now watch this. As Jesus steps out of that grave and starts talking, the very first thing he says, woman, why weepest thou? The very first thing. Again, remember, if you're having a problem today, the very thing, your problem tries to drive you from Jesus Christ. But if you can find a way to linger, even in your discomfort, to linger, even in your misunderstanding, to linger before God, it's amazing how God will come and he will comfort you. So it's a message of comfort. There's two gardens in the Bible. The first garden was in Genesis chapter 3. God questioned the woman, did you eat that fruit that I told you not to eat of? And so, because she did that, and Adam did that, death entered this world. And she was left with a promise and weeping. In this garden, the second garden, the woman was questioned again, why are you weeping? You see, death was defeated. And she was standing with promise and with joy. Please forgive my voice. It's not as bad as it sounds. But maybe it is. y'all are looking good. Look at my table, looking good. If you've got to shut one eye, you're looking good. New Garden, Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. One of these days, that's all going to be ended. Amen. You know, I was even talking to Nancy a couple days ago, and I said, when you get up there, I need you to do something for me. And she said, what? I said, tell Bethany, because Bethany's giving a great big bear hug. I said, when about to Bethany gives you a great big bear hug, you tell her that her family misses her. And we're going to be there soon. Amen. Look, where we're going, there's going to be no more tears. Amen. All right, number two. The next thing, next words was Mary. Mary. It's a message of intimacy. Jesus called Mary by name. You see, Jesus knows his disciples like nobody else does. He knows his disciples, he knows their needs, he knows how to address them. He called Thomas by name. Even when Thomas was doubting him, he called Thomas. He called Peter by name, even when Peter had messed up and was running the other way. Mark 16:7 says, now go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said unto you. I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. I want you to think of something. Jesus knows you by name. There's a lot of hurt in this building. Oh, we're trying to cover it up. We're not trying to act like it's not here. There's a lot of hurt in this building. There's a lot of hurt personally. There's a lot of hurt in families. And so many times we feel all alone in our pain. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus knows you personally, and he knows you by name. The third word, go tell my brothers that I'm alive. You go and you tell. That's a message of hope. She had a message of the resurrection. It's what we were practicing, and one of us will lead prayer beforehand. And so I asked Chris to lead in prayer. You know, I'd always say something. You're like, I'm going to find the most holiest one in here. I looked over and said, I'm finding the most holiest one in here. And Chris said, no. And I said, but you know what? What more fitting Easter morning than for you to pray, because the very first gospel message was given by a woman. Come and see. Jesus is alive. So, she had the message of the resurrection. That message was to the whole world. He had paid the cross, or paid the price of sin. He came off that cross into the grave, out of the grave, and now he's alive. Amen. Somebody say he's alive.
He's alive.
And say it again. I can't say it. Y'all say it for me.
He's alive. He's alive.
Say it again. Y'all got to help me out.
Come on.
He's alive.
Hey, one more time. I couldn't hear you.
He's alive.
Try saying that when you go out of this place today, when you see people again. All preaching across the centuries were useless without the resurrection. Amen? Now, the next word. I'm not going to keep you long because I don't know how much longer my voice is than that. Ready? Peace be unto you. God's message is a message of peace. This whole world needs peace. If it's ever needed peace, it needs it today. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. But instead of peace being people trying to place blame, trying to find who did what, God's promise of peace, let me tell you something. It's very, 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 very powerful. God's promise of peace, the door is shut. Fear destroys our peace. How many here right now, without saying it, without raising your hand, could say, you know what? My doors are shut. I don't have peace, and my doors are shut to my heart, to my spirit. Either your doors are shut to your spouse, your doors are shut to your children, your doors are shut to friends, or your doors are shut to God. If you can just give it to God, that's what God can do, because God's message is a message of peace. He goes in, and the disciples are scared to death. Let me read it anyway. Then the same day at Edom, it came to be the first day of the week. The doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed him his hands and his sides. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, peace be unto you. Peace, peace. Now, that word peace, it's eirene, which means to set together that which was broken. Luke used it all the time when he talked about the man at the gate. When Peter and John said, silver, Lord, have I done such as I have given you? Stand up and rise and walk. And the Bible says his angel bones received strength. It was eirene, which means to bind together that which has been separated. It means to surgically put together. It means to replace, to put it together. Jesus wants to surgically go in our hearts and give us peace. Amen? Peace with God, that's salvation. Peace of God, that's with ourselves. We'll stop right here. There's someone you hear right now really, really need to hear this. Some of you need peace with God. Salvation. You played around with him. You played church. But you've never had that relationship. There's peace with God. The Bible even tells us in Romans chapter 5. Let's see. Let me get this right here. Romans chapter 5. Get your Bibles out with me. Romans chapter 5. When I got saved, every Sunday, when I got saved, for months, when they had an altar call, I got down at the altar. And every Sunday, I beat myself up at that altar every Sunday. Sometimes I pray for 30 minutes after every service, and I just beat myself up because I really didn't know. I had the peace with God's salvation, but I didn't have the peace of God myself. And when I read this scripture, my whole life changed. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Again, I'm going to do it. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes. I wish I could talk better. I can't. I'm sorry. Close your eyes. If you know you're saved today, and nobody else is looking around, put your hand up. Put your hands up. You're saved. Is it an altar call? This is just one more word here. Peace. Put your hands up. You know you're safe. Put your hands up. Nobody looking around. Everybody's eyes closed. Now, put it down. God's peace has a trickle-down effect. Number two. And I meet so many people every week with this problem. You got peace with God, but you don't have the peace of God. Inside yourself, you're a wreck. Inside yourself, things are torn apart. Inside your family, things are torn apart. inside your spirit, things are tore apart. Now, for nobody looking around, this is not an altar call, I'm just asking. So I'm going to pray with you right here for this. If you've got the peace, you got peace with God, but you don't have the peace of God, that is yourself tore apart on the inside. And nobody's looking around, would you put that hand up and say, pray for me? Father, right now you see all these hands. You see them. You know these people. They're your children. You know them by name. You've been with them before they were ever born. They don't realize it, baby, but they did not come from their mama and daddy. They came through their mama and daddy. They came from you. Amen. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, bathe them in your peace. Put it back together in the things that's tearing them up on the inside. Bathe them in your peace. And then they'll feel a rush of your Holy Spirit go through them now in the name of Jesus. And let them feel not only peace with God, but let them feel the peace of God. And we thank you for it, God. Put your hands up. Just thank you. Just thank you. Just thank you. Oh, my God. One more time, keep your eyes closed, but you have to touch your eyes one more. Trickle down. Peace with God leads to peace of God, leads to the peace through God. That's your situations. Your eyes closed. Are you in here today? And you got some situations that are driving you crazy. They're pulling you apart. They're tearing you apart on the inside. There's a storm raging. It could be in your marriage. It could be in your family. It could be on your job. It could be in your spirit. There's a storm raging. You're being pulled apart. You just got the peace of God, but now you get peace through God. If you're ready for God to move in these situations, nobody looking around, just put those hands up again. Put them up. I need God to move through these situations. I need him to move in these situations. Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch each hand that is raised, touch the hands that want to be raised in heart. God, we thank you right now, Lord. We're not here by accident. This is not an accident to be here this day. Lord, I know, God, there's all kinds of things trying to ruin this message, but God, we rebuke that in the name of Jesus, Lord. I ask you right now, Father, to touch, Lord, our situations. Bring us peace. Speak peace. Be still. In the name of Jesus. Give Lord another hand clap of praise. Now, don't say it to anybody else. Say it to yourself. Say it to yourself. You say it out loud, but it's to yourself. Today.
Today.
A little bit louder. Today.
Today.
Don't y'all try to talk like me. You're a little bit louder. Today. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That I have peace with you. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That I have the peace of God. And I thank you, God, that today I've released it and I'm getting ready to see the peace through God. In the name of Jesus. Give Lord another hand clap. Get ready. God is so, so awesome. Some of y'all have been living in blame. Some of y'all have been living in fault finding. Some of y'all have been living in rebuke. Some of y'all are placing blame. Some of y'all are placing fault finding. Some of y'all have been placing rebuke. So whether you're receiving it or giving it. Remember, the first words of Jesus was not blame, not fault finding, not rebuke, but they were peace. I'm joined together that which has been separated. I'm just about through the next message, verse 21. of her, what was that? Then said Jesus again, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so I sent you. But when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whoever sins you retain, they are retained. Let me just stop that for just a second. That doesn't mean you save people. You do not save people. What it means is when you give the gospel message to people, when you give it to them, it's up to them to accept it. When you give that message to people, the gospel message, along the way, I've given it and been turned down. I've given it and been down like I down, like I had three eyes. But later on, it eat at them, and it eat at them, and it eat at them. But if I don't tell them, Paul says in Ezekiel, if I don't tell them, and I don't, they're going to pay for their sin, but their blood is on my hands. Pilate was told by his wife, you better leave this man alone. She said, I had a dream about him. This is not good. Leave him alone. So Pilate tried to do the politically correct thing. And he offered them Jesus or Barabbas. Barabbas means Barabbas, son of the Father. Jesus was the Father's son. And they had a choice. Woo! Now y'all awake now. They had a choice. And they took Barabbas.
Wake up.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's getting louder and louder. It's long. And Pilate said, he beat him. And after he scourged him, he thought he would give him back to the people. When he scourged him and give him back to the people, they still wanted to crucify. So he just said, you want to do that? You do that. And he said, watch this. He said, I wash my hands. Y'all do what y'all want to do with Christ. I washed my hands of it. When he had a chance to really do something, he didn't. He was even warned. And he washed his hands. I'm not going to be judged to say whether he's in heaven or hell. But there's one thing I do believe, according to Ezekiel. He's still trying to wash the blood of Jesus off his hands. When you have an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, do it. Amen. So here we go. It's a message of power. Go real quick. In your ears, the common service is power to serve. There's a job to be done before the Lord, and we are powerless. Without Jesus, we are powerless without it. The cross gives us the message, and the resurrection gives us the power to get rid of clothes. I told you, Ann, it's because my heart's closed. God is so awesome. Ready? And after 8 days, after his disciples were within, 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto you, except I shall see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, you sorry rascal. Did every chip in my finger, and behold my hands, every chip in my hand, thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord, my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. People talk junk about Thomas because he doubted Thomas. But read up on Thomas. He became a very powerful missionary, and I believe it was India. He went to India, and he helped bring Christianity to that part of the world. I'm pretty sure he told this story many, many times. And the way he died, he was preaching the gospel, and somebody came and run him through with a spear. Yes, he had his moment, but it's okay. Some of you here right now have had your moment, but know this, it's okay. Amen. So now, more get close, get close to problems. Message of challenge. Stages of dealing with your doubt. Get ready. Here's how doubt works. First, you give your doubt to Jesus. Stage one, Jesus can't be. You couldn't even go to Jesus. He couldn't make them willing to power the stage. Some of y'all here, you haven't been going to Jesus, but you're here today. Now Jesus has come to you. Number two, take part of what you know. Personal power stage. He knew Jesus had been crucified. He put his fingers in the prints. And it will enable you to do what God has staged you to do. Praise God. Here we go. Today we get to the end. Let's go ahead and get this thing moving. We're for us today. The promise. Get ready. We are saved by faith, inner grace, affecting our spirit, affecting ourselves. Or we walk by faith and outward grace, affecting our life, investing in others. Faith brings blessing in time before journey. Mary lost the Lord, but she found him because of the resurrection and her love. She refused not to leave her.
Because you took my sin, you bore my shame. let there be no higher name. You laid down your perfect life. You are the sacrifice. On the altar of our praise,
beginning, it was going to be a little bit too many videos, and I lost my voice. I said, okay, God, you knew exactly what you were doing. The video was a brief moment of that. All right. The cross. He took our fear of death. He took our fear of life. He conquered him at the cross on the third day. He arose. This is your question, bro. There's a lot of stuff going on this world today. And they're trying to put God in a pocket somewhere, push him aside, push him over here, hide him. But Easter says you can put truth in a grave, but it won't stay there. Stand up for what you believe. Trust God that he's got you. And then the God's got a very powerful, powerful message for us. Everybody please stand. Close your eyes and bow your head. No looking at me, please. If you're here today and you don't have that peace with God, salvation, with everybody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, would you be honest with yourself and with God and say, I'm not talking about religion, I'm not talking about your grandmother was saved, daddy saved, I'm talking about you. Matthew 16, Jesus asked me to one of the disciples, who do men say I am? And they told him, he said, who do you say I am? Every head bowed, hear me out close. If you do not know God in the full heart of your sin, I'm not going to call you out here. I'm not going to make an example of you right there at your seat. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, not a religious experience, but a relationship, no better day than a resurrection day. But you put that hand up and say, I don't know him in the full heart of my sin. Ask you right now, Lord, to touch these fellows, touch these ladies. Lord, touch all. Now, thank you. We're going to come back to you. We're going to pray in just a minute. Maybe you're here today, and you know him. But like Peter, when he didn't understand what was going on, he tried to save Jesus in the garden. He pulled out his sword. He cut off Malchus, the high priest servant's ear, tried to defend Jesus. And Jesus said, put it up. He didn't ask about the sword. He's going to die by the sword. And it took Jesus off. And when he saw what was going on, he followed way, way, way afar off. And when the time came for him to stand, he denied Jesus 3 times before dawn, just as Jesus had said. Again, it's time to be honest with yourself. Are you following afar off? So far away that you know me. You're not even sure if it makes a difference because you're following so far off. And when the heat gets on you, you find yourself going the other way. Are you following afar off? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're following afar off, you're ready to get close to God again. Put that hand up. Touch him, Lord. Touch him, touch him, touch him. And again, what I talked about earlier, you just need peace. Just peace. God, I need peace. I love you. I trust you. But the events that's been happening to me have been tearing me off pieces. The things that's going on are tearing me off pieces. And I need peace. Just put that hand up. I just need that peace. I need that peace. I need that peace. Jesus, when he came to the disciples, he breathed on them. He said, peace be unto you. Breathe on them. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. And you know, we want to get on Pentecostal, but that was on that Pentecost. First thing the Holy Spirit does before he empowers you is he comforts you and it gives you peace. Father, breathe on this congregation. Breathe on fresh anointing, your fresh power, your closeness that so many desire. Breathe understanding. Take away the blame. Take away the fault finding. Breathe peace. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Now we're going to pray together. Everybody pray with me. Everybody pray aloud and pray with me. Father.
Father.
I love you.
Father.
I thank you. For paying the price. So I don't have to. Father. Help me today. To quit paying that price anyway. I give it to you. I rededicate my life. I rededicate my ministry. I rededicate my family to you. And I thank you, God, that you're going to do what I can't do. You're going to breathe peace on me and my situation. And I thank you for that. Today is your day, God. It's the day we celebrate you resurrecting. I thank you, God, that today we are resurrected. Thank you, God, that we, our hopes and our dreams are being resurrected. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says,
amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Also pray for me. It was actually when he got to Greenville, they thought scans showed that he had a ruptured appendix. It was not a ruptured appendix. It was another problem. The abscess made it look like a ruptured appendix. And they take out part of the small intestines. But it's doing great. And he said, they sent me a picture when I would put it up there. Because he's wearing monkey ears. I didn't ask him to put it up there besides only that, but it was a bit of put me up there. Come on, put me in. Keep praying for Benny. He's got a hard road to go, but God's blessing him. And you know, I told him a little bit before last week, but the doctor said, I've already reserved to a table for lunch at Paul Funeral. And I said, you know, matter of fact, you said you wanted to be cremated, so I've already mentioned an appointment for next Thursday. Yesterday, I said, how are you? He said, cancel the resurrection. Isn't that awesome? God's got it. God's got it. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after saying the Lord's Prayer, ask Brother Wayne, please, in closing prayer, let's say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Now, Father God, it is a pleasure and an honor to be able to stand up this day, Father, this Resurrection Sunday, Father. We thank you for the sunshine you set upon us. Let us know you're still in control, Father. Father, thanks for the word brought to us today. Thanks for the music, Lord. Thank you for the feeling inside, Lord. We go outside and spread the word of Jesus Christ, Lord, because we know you're coming with that. Be with us now. We depart these doors. Bring us back at the next appointed time. This and all things I'll ask in your son's name. And to this I say, amen and amen.
Come on.